Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
Good morning. My name is Matt Kladnick. Good to be with you guys. You all awake? Exciting times. It's Palm Sunday. And like Anna said, Palm Sunday is one of my favorite Sundays. I mean, I like them all. But as we get to this time of year where we're getting ready for Easter, I get really, really excited. One thing that just surprises me is we think about Jesus. Jesus has two big holidays every year, right? Jesus has two big holidays. Jesus has Christmas and Jesus has Easter. And what I think is kind of funny, it's not funny, it's actually a little bit disturbing. We have taken Jesus' two big Sundays that he gets, and we've made them become all about us. Because on Christmas, what are you excited about? Getting stuff. Okay. Like, why on Jesus' birthday do we get stuff? Unfair. We've changed it. What about Easter? We'd get to have guilt-free chocolate all day, right? Yeah. For some reason, these two holidays that are kind of big moments in Jesus' life, we have distorted them and made them more about us, about what we get than what we get to give. But it actually seems more like Jesus' character. Jesus was always giving. It's kind of like on my birthday, you get a gift. But I think Jesus, because of his heart for us, he goes, that's okay. Like, I love that you are feeling loved in this moment. And I love that you are enjoying today. I have two kids, a third one on the way. But it's hard for my two girls to enjoy a special day for themselves because the other one gets upset that they're feeling neglected and left out. And I think this holiday season, as we get ready for Easter, we got to remind ourselves that this isn't about you. This isn't about you at all. This isn't about chocolate. It's not about eggs. Not about Easter bunnies. It is all about the resurrection of Jesus. Amen. It's a pretty big moment. If Jesus doesn't raise from the dead, he's an ordinary guy just like you and me. And his life didn't matter at all if he was just like you and me. But Jesus was the Son of God and death couldn't hold him down. It's crazy. Yeah. It's super crazy. And because of that, we're here today. And because of that, because Jesus rose from the dead, that we can have life. And we can have not just a life in the future. We can have abundant life today, here and now. Isn't that your story? Jesus has given you abundant life here and now, and you're enjoying it. As I said, it's Palm Sunday. I didn't want to tell you how many years I was a Christian or even how many years I was in Bible college before I understood Palm Sunday. Can a Bible college student say hey in the house? I see two of you right there. Bible college was such a waste of money. Bible college was such a waste of money in some ways. I went through a lot of Bible college and didn't understand a whole lot. It wasn't until kind of after Bible college I said, well, what's this Palm Sunday about? I get the branches, but what else? What was Palm Sunday really about? And we're going to look at what Palm Sunday is all about in just a moment here. 5 days from now, we have Good Friday. Good Friday is the day. It doesn't sound all that good, but it is good that Jesus died on Good Friday, which is coming up here in 5 days. In 6 days, we have Easter in the park, which is exciting. If you haven't been before, your mind will be blown. There will probably be about 500 people from our community. We have 10,000 Easter eggs. Yep. You heard me right. 10,000 Easter eggs. And kids are going to be getting crazy. Our community is going to be lavished with love and generosity. There are going to be conversations that happen at the parking lot that could change someone's eternity if only we'll be present and available for these people. This is such a great opportunity for us to love our city, and we really enjoy it. And it's really fun. Bring some sunblock, because I always seem to get a sunburn on said nose. My Slovenian nose catches all the sun going my direction. So I will be sunblocked up. And in 7 days, we have Easter Sunday, which I'm really excited about. And on Easter Sunday, we're having baptisms. Yeah, I'm super excited about that. I love baptisms. You know, we just did baptisms at the beginning of the year. Matt got dunked. Where is Angel? Angel got dunked. Who else got baptized? Oh, Johnny got baptized. Okay, so this section over here, right here. Good job. None of all y'all, but over here. It's really fun seeing people get baptized. But we have probably, I think it was about 6 to 8 more people getting baptized on Easter Sunday. So I'm really, really excited about that. That's going to be a really special day. So in 5 days, Good Friday, in 6 days, Easter in the Park, 7 days, Easter Sunday. In 8 days, I'm going to take an extended nap. And I don't mean the nap where you just lay on the couch and just sleep while you're watching golf. I mean the kind of nap where you get in your pajamas and get in bed kind of nap. I'm going serious nap action. Like, I'm not a rookie when it comes to nap. I'm a professional when it comes to napping. I'm going to get in my jammies. I'm going to just get comfy. I'm going to take a real good nap in 8 days. While Grace is pregnant and chasing the children around, I'll be upstairs sleeping for an extended time. She will love that. And in 19 days, people, baby Kladnik will arrive. Maybe 18, maybe 17, maybe this afternoon. We don't know. We don't know. But for sure, on May the 3rd, baby girl Kladnik is here. And we get to love her and snuggle her. So I'm excited about that, too. So much great stuff to be looking forward to. I remember years ago, I was preaching a sermon at a church I was working for. We're probably 10 years ago, and I was pretty new to preaching on Sundays. I had preached to youth group, but youth group, you just stand there and tell some jokes about bathroom things, and the kids are happy. But when I started preaching on Sundays to adults, it was a bit of a challenge. Jeremy Tyre, you may remember this. I showed up at our church to preach on a Sunday, and I had written 3 really good sermons. I was so nervous. I wrote one sermon. I said, "This is great. This is like, I'm going to submit to Charisma Magazine for sure. This is a rock solid sermon. Andy Stanley's going to call me and say, where'd you get your material?" But I was so excited about it. So I'd written one, and I got done writing the sermon. I said, "Oh, this is garbage. I can't do this." And then I wrote another sermon. I got done with that. I thought, "This is great too." And then I realized this is garbage too. So what I did on that Sunday was really, really dramatic, actually. I stood in front of the congregation, and this was pre-iPads. And I had my notes on paper, and I had 3 sets of notes, and I stood in front of the congregation with 3 sermons in front of me, and I just looked at them, and I just kind of, in my mind, I did eeny, meeny, miny, moe, and I slid one off the table, and I literally just slid it off so it just fell on the ground, and then I had 2. Do you remember this, Grace? You were interceding. You had your eyes closed. You were so nervous. I slowly whittled down to 1 sermon. I wish I could do that show for you right now, but I have an iPad. I can just scroll left and right. It was about 1 o'clock last night, and I had realized that I had nothing to say. That's really terrifying to be a preacher and be at 1 o'clock and just not have anything to say. I made the mistake of telling Grace late last night, so that just helped her with her anxiety. But God is really good, and he's really faithful, and I'm really excited to share with you today a little bit about Palm Sunday, because I think Jesus wants to meet us. He wants to speak to us. He wants to meet us in something that could be something we could just move through today and miss the impact. We can miss the gravity of Palm Sunday if we just think Palm Sunday is about some little branches. Right. Palm Sunday is way more than that. Right. One of the things that can really complicate your relationship is unmet expectations. Have you ever had expectations from somebody and they didn't satisfy your expectations, and then you secretly hated them because of it? Okay, you didn't hate them, you're Christians, but you disliked them strongly. You've had expectations from a boss, you had expectations from an employee, you had expectations from a spouse, from a girlfriend, a boyfriend, you had expectations from your kids, and they were unmet. Unmet expectations can really destroy a relationship. I want you to see, as we look at Palm Sunday, that everyone that was welcoming Jesus into Jerusalem had some very lofty expectations of what Jesus was going to do. And what they would see in the given days, 5 days later, is that Jesus could not and did not meet their expectations. How are they going to rectify their faith, their relationship with Jesus, when Jesus didn't do what they wanted him to do? Do you feel that tension in your life too? That Jesus flat out hasn't done what you told him he ought to do. Jesus, you didn't help me in my marriage like you said you would. Jesus, you didn't put the money in my bank like you said you would. If we don't deal with our disappointments, our unmet expectations, this is what happens. We just become resentful and we become bitter. Someone that disappoints you enough, you eventually not want to talk to anymore. There are many, many people, not in this room, but there are many people in our world that have had bad experiences with Jesus because their expectations weren't met. the people waving branches, the people putting their jackets on the floor as Jesus rode in on a donkey yelling Hosanna. They had expectations of what Jesus was going to do. In 5 short days, their expectations of what Jesus was going to do was crumbled to the ground as Jesus hung on the cross. How were they going to move through their disappointment? But we all have expectations from God. And maybe here's a couple. God didn't heal you like you wanted him to heal you. God didn't speak to you like you wanted him to speak to you. God didn't lead you like you wanted him to lead you. God didn't comfort you the way you wanted him to comfort you. Unmet expectations can kill any relationship. And when we carry into our relationship with God some expectations, there's a good chance we might become disappointed. And disappointment turns into resentment. And resentment turns into bitterness. And bitterness turns into distance.
Come on, Matt.
The sad thing is, as I said, our world is filled with people who carry that baggage with them. Jesus was all right, but he didn't do things the way I wanted him to do things. And because of that, I don't want to have anything to do with church. And because of that, I don't want to have anything to do with the Bible. Because of that, I'm going to separate myself from who Jesus is. Unmet, unrealistic expectations in any relationship will tarnish something that's really beautiful. So let's look at the scripture here. It's in Matthew chapter 21. This is the scripture that we're going to read. This is all about Palm Sunday. So it's 11 verses. Stick with me now. You'll enjoy it. Matthew chapter 21, starting in verse 1. This is what it says. Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent 2 disciples, saying to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied with a colt with her. Untie them, steal them, untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them. That's a good answer if you steal something. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, say to the daughter of Zion, this is a quote from the Old Testament, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the fowl of a beast of burden. What a description for an animal. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from trees and they spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up. The whole city was abuzz, saying, who is this? And the crowd said, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. God, I pray right now by the power of your Holy Spirit that you will make clear to us what you want to make clear to us through your scriptures today. God, I pray that we have eyes to see and ears to hear what you want to say. God, would you use your word today to correct anything in us that isn't accurate to what you want for us? God, I pray that you would bring alignment today, that today you would be like a physician, that you would cut and dissect and perform surgery on our hearts, but you'd also be like a chiropractor. Would you bring new alignment into our lives? God, for our health, for our sanity, for our fruitfulness, would you bring alignment into our minds and our hearts and our spirits? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. It might not sound to you like from the onset that this sounded like a triumphal entry. See, when I picture a triumphal entry, I picture like the Super Bowl winners being welcomed into town after they win the Super Bowl. The last time I watched a Super Bowl party moving in town was when my Seattle Seahawks won the Super Bowl some years ago. It's a crazy spectacle. It's a parade. Everyone quits work. The streets are lined up. That's what I think about when I think about a triumphal entry. Or maybe it's a baseball team that won the World Series and they get welcomed back into their hometown. And people get met at the airport. It's a riot of celebration. When I think of a triumphal entry, I think of an entry like that. I don't think of a dude riding on a donkey with palm branches and a weird word being yelled out, Hosanna. I don't think about that. When's the last time you said Hosanna outside of church? I know. You can't think of a time, can you? Honey, can you open this jar of pickles? Sure. Hosanna. I mean, I don't know when you'd use it. Like, I literally don't know when you'd use the word Hosanna. Hosanna. Would you like me to get off the top shelf? Hosanna. I got more. Oh, you have a knot in your shoes? Let me untie it. Hosanna. It's done. Hello. You're welcome. Jesus' triumphal entry. There's got to be something to this stinking donkey. There's got to be something to these palm branches. And there's got to be something to this word Hosanna that gives us a better idea of what Jesus was really about. You and I are 2,000 years removed from this event. But these three things were really, they communicated a lot more to its original audience than like what we really see today. If I was to be welcomed into town, a victorious ruler, someone of promise, someone of prestige, I would want to come into town in like a stretch limousine, not on a donkey. You see, the people expected a king, they anticipated a king, and the king they wanted to receive was a king like King David, a king who was mighty, a mighty warrior king. That's who everyone was anticipating. That's who they're praying for, that's who they're believing for. Our king is coming, our Messiah is coming, and he's gonna be like David, and he's gonna have a sword, and he's gonna bring destruction to our enemies, and he's gonna bring rulership to our kingdom. We're gonna live in the heyday of what life should be like under our brand new king. That's what they are looking for. They weren't looking for Jesus, the dude who rubs mud in people's eyes. They weren't looking for Jesus, the guy who had this band of misfits, this ragtag group, this motley crew of followers. They're looking for someone who was good looking, strong and mighty, who commanded the attention of people, not someone who served and gave and was sacrificial in nature. The people were looking for someone like Moses. Moses was awesome. Let my people go, Moses. Moses charges into Egypt and commands Pharaoh to let the people go. And he leads them out of their captivity. And we're not just talking, they were kind of bummed out. They were enslaved under Pharaoh and the Egyptian. And Moses, one dude comes in the power of God, in the authority of God, and commands that the people are let go. And God moves in a miraculous way. Moses marches out of town with the Israelites in tow, and then they go walk right through the Red Sea. The people are waiting for Moses. They're waiting for someone who could come and command Rome, let us go, let us go. We're not going to deal with it anymore. They're waiting for a king like that. They weren't looking for a king riding in on a donkey. 5 days from Jesus' arrival in the town, Jesus would hang on the cross. People had expectations of what Jesus was going to do and how he was going to do it. And I have to tell you that I think every one of their expectations was missed. They wanted Jesus. This is why they rallied. This is why they met to meet him at the city, because the new king was coming in town. And guess what? When the new king comes in town and the new king takes over rulership, you want to be on his team. Like, this is why the disciples were arguing and fighting. Who gets to sit at your right hand? It wasn't because Jesus was warm and they were cold and they just wanted to warm up. They wanted to sit at Jesus' right hand because they wanted to rule with him. Yeah. Jesus comes, and he comes to rule, and he came to rule. But the way in which Jesus came to rule and has reigned ever since is way different than the way that you and I think of ruling, way different than the way that you and I think of reigning. So let's look at a couple things here. Palm branches, okay? Let's look at the palm branches. When Jesus entered the city, palm branches getting waved, palm branches getting put on the ground. The branches in this time, in biblical times, the branches actually represented victory. When a king was coming in town, after being victorious, he would be welcomed with palm branches. They were symbolic of a victory. So think of that. Everyone's coming to meet Jesus as he's coming in town and they're waving the palm branches. What they're saying is, our victorious king is arrived. Yeah. How victorious can you be when you're hanging on a cross? Come on. Unmet expectation. Wow. The second thing we see, look how fast we're going. The second thing we see is a donkey. I was going to make a donkey sound, but I did not. You're welcome. The next thing we see is a donkey. I am pretty good at animal sounds. It may entertain all of you, but I get to live with her. So I'll do my donkey sound later when she's not around. Jesus rides in a donkey, and Jesus riding on donkey was actually a fulfillment of a prophecy. Zechariah 9:9, I think I've got the scripture here. Zechariah 9:9 says like this, and we read it in the scripture. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. During biblical times, it was customary, actually, for a king to enter into a city on a donkey. It was a picture of a peaceful entry. It would be the equivalent of like waving the white flag. You've never had to do that either, right? But you've seen it in movies, maybe in a war movie or in a Western movie. When someone gives up, they wave the white flag. There's a surrender flag. And it was a calling for peace, a calling for truce. When a king would enter town on a donkey, it was symbolic of saying, I've come peacefully. So Jesus comes in peacefully. Peace is a really wonderful thing when all you've been experiencing is chaos for a long time. And that's what the people have been experiencing under the oppression of Rome. They have been experiencing Rome crushing their every dream and desire. So the idea that someone would come to bring peace was a very welcome kind of thing. The people thought Jesus was bringing peace to their community. What were they going to do when in 5 days their peaceful king hung on a cross? Unmet expectations. The last thing is Hosanna. Can everyone say Hosanna? Again, Hosanna isn't one of those words we use any other time other than opening pickles. We don't say the word Hosanna at all. Yeah, I can't think of the last time I've said it not in church. And Hosanna, they sing this song and it's this cheer. It's this celebration of what Jesus is doing. And the people cheer and it says, and you read earlier, Hosanna to the Son of David. Remember? David, we want David. We want the sword. We want our military king to come back. Hosanna, the Son of David. It's kind of like saying, hey, we just want to remind you, Jesus, you're the Son of David. So fight. Fight hard. That's what we're expecting from you. Just a reminder, that's who you come from, a line of fighters. So fight. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, it actually means save now. It means rescue now. Can you see the urgency in what they're saying? Save us now. Save us now. The people are under oppression that they have never faced before. And the people expected immediate rescue. Jesus' entry shows us that the people had some expectations. The people expected that Jesus would come into town, that he would be victorious under their terms, that he would bring peace under their terms, and that he would come and that he would save them now. Crazy thing is 5 days later, Jesus hung on a cross, right? How can you rescue? How can you bring peace? How can you save when you are dead on a cross? Unmet expectations. The resurrection of Jesus, though, it changes all of this. Yeah. If Jesus simply hangs on the cross and dies and gets buried, it's a fun story. Jesus had a good go on earth. He did some really cool stuff, and that's it. But the resurrection reframes everything we just learned about Jesus, yeah. Everything we learned about his arrival. The resurrection of Jesus actually shows us that their expectations, it wasn't that their expectations were too lofty. It was actually that their expectations were too small. Come on. They expected Jesus to do something for them immediately, but Jesus was doing something that was even further reaching than they could have ever imagined. So good. That's why I love Jesus, because his plans are not my plans. His thoughts are not my thoughts. His ways are higher than my ways. The people had a very narrow idea of what their Savior was going to do. Jesus comes and he blows up their idea of what it means to be a Savior. Yes. Jesus didn't want to just to be the king of a community. The resurrection shows us that Jesus is the king of all humanity. They wanted a king for today. Jesus wanted to be a king forever. Their unmet expectations were actually just the fact that they were thinking too small. And Jesus was thinking way bigger. Jesus didn't just come to bring governmental peace, but everlasting peace. Yes. Jesus didn't just come to save an isolated group of people, but to bring salvation to everyone everywhere. Yes. So it wasn't that their expectations weren't met, it was that their expectations were too small. They had made Jesus' arrival all about them. But Jesus' arrival wasn't just for them. It was for a much broader audience than they could have ever imagined. Easter reminds me that God can do anything. Every time we celebrate Easter, Easter reminds me that God can do anything. If Jesus can be risen from the dead, then there is hope. Every dead part of your life, every broken part of your life, every disastrous part of your life is no match to the resurrection power of Jesus. Dream it up. Think it up. Think of the issue of the person sitting next to you. Jesus's resurrection is bigger than that problem. Don't make me stand on something. I will, because I like to do that. I'll stand and get taller. I'll stand on Carlos's shoulders. Every Easter, I'm reminded that there is nothing. You cannot dream or think or imagine anything too big for Jesus to meet you in right in that moment. Jesus waltzes into Jerusalem despite all the expectations that he knew were going to be unmet by these people. Jesus wasn't an idiot. Jesus knew exactly what they were doing. Yeah. Jesus, as he's riding in, they're thinking, they think I'm going to be like David. They're going to be really disappointed. Wow. The people, they think I'm going to be like Moses and lead them through the Red Sea into their promised land. They're going to be really disappointed. These people think I'm going to bring peace. These people think I'm going to bring a victory. These people think I'm going to bring salvation to them. They're going to be really disappointed because it's going to get real dark here come Friday. And people are going to want to scatter away. There's nothing too big for Jesus. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, it says this. I love this. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think according to the power at work within us. Jesus can do far more abundantly than we can ask for, think for, or imagine. Far more. I think some of your disappointment that we face in the room, some of us that have disappointment, I can't be the only one. Some of the disappointment we have, it isn't because your expectations are too high. It's that your expectations are a little bit too low. I want to be shooting to the promises that God has for me. You want God to do something significant for you, but God actually wants to do something significant through you. You've got to reframe how you're praying. Don't be like the people waving the branches on Palm Sunday. I'm telling you what, the people that yelled, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." 5 days later, they're going to be yelling, "Crucify him, crucify him." Because that's how we work. When our expectations of God are unmet, we are the first to curse him. It's true. A lot of the people that laid down their jackets, that waved the branches, that yelled Hosanna in the highest, were some of the first people, when given the chance to, they said, "Crucify him, get rid of him. You get rid of him. He isn't the guy. He isn't who we thought he was. Because if he was, he wouldn't be in this situation right now. So get rid of him. Let's move on to the next Messiah." The very same people that celebrated his entry are the very same people that pushed him to the cross. All because their expectations were unmet. Wow. So what does this mean for us? It's good news. It's good news. I feel like God's inviting a lot of us today. We need to lay down our expectations of what God can do and should do. We just need to lay it down. We need to surrender it. We need to sacrifice it. We got to lay it down. Lay down what I think God can do. Because I tell you what, if you think you know what God can do, you're already putting God in a really small box. If you already think you know what God can do or should do in that situation, then aren't you kind of like God? I know you. You're not. I know you. You're not. As soon as you think you know the mind of God, he switches it on you. We get so focused on God doing what we want God to do that we miss the intimacy that God actually wants to have with us. We treat God like a vending machine who we just will wait and we put in the right amount of money. We push the right amount of buttons and I'm just waiting for whatever I want to drop. And we sit there and wait. And Jesus doesn't want to just sit out there and wait and have us just wait for him to do what we want him to do. He wants to have a relationship with us. He wants us to be attentive to his voice. I tell you what, my kids, I'm glad my kids don't just stick out their hands and want from me all the time. They kind of do, they want, but they actually want to be with me too. And as a father, that stirs my heart. When I take my daughter, I talk about my kids a lot. When I take my daughter to Target, she wants everything in Target, like everything. She doesn't even know what it is. She's like, "I want that. What is that? It's a toilet cleaner. I want that." She just wants everything. She wants everything. I have to tell her, I say, stop just wanting. Can you just be with me? And when she, in those rare moments, just simply can be with me, I feel compelled in a new way to lavish her with gifts.
Come on.
Isn't it true?
So true.
When your kids aren't pestering you for wah, 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 and they're just simply enjoying you, you actually want to become generous with them. I think we miss the point of knowing Jesus when we just have our hands out. Meet my expectations. Do what I want you to do. I'm yours as long as you meet my expectations. I tell you what, Jesus has been disappointing me for a long time because he hasn't moved the way I want him to move. I expected marriage to be different, and it's a lot more work than I thought. I expected being a parent to be easier. It's a lot more work than I thought. I expected my career to be simpler and more satisfying. It just isn't. I expected my bank account to have way more zeros than it has. I expected a lot of things. And if I get focused and I get hung up on the expectations that I have from God, I miss the real intimacy that's available to me. Because when I find my full sufficiency in my relationship with Jesus, all those wants and needs and desires, they become secondary, not primary. You feel alignment coming in your body right now? So the first thing that we can do this Palm Sunday is we can start to surrender our expectations. Surrender my needs, my wants and desires. And the second thing that you'd be really wise to do is start to hold on to God's promises in his word. I tell you what, I don't trust my thought life. I don't trust the ideas that I have about what God can do and should do. I don't trust them. At the root of it all, I am so selfish. At the root of it all, I am so needy. I am so greedy. The promises that I think God has for me that I can imagine are actually far from the truth of the promises he has for me. So we have got to be people that seek God's word for the promises that he has for us. Because I can stand on his promises, but I ought not stand on my promises.
Right?
Will you stand with me? As we conclude Palm Sunday, I want you to picture that scene. Picture that scene of Jesus coming in with on the donkey. I want you to smell the dust in the air as the donkey goes. I want you to picture the jackets, the cloaks on the ground, and the waving of the branches, and the song, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, the Son of David. God, would we be people today that celebrate your arrival? And we see it now from the other side of the story. While they only saw what their perspective was, we see the end of the story. We see Jesus, that your sacrifice on the cross, that your life, that your death, your resurrection, it all mattered. It was actually for a bigger purpose than what we could have imagined even ourselves. And if we were there when you were welcomed into town, we would have been right in line, expecting you to deliver, expecting you to save, expecting you to bring freedom, expecting you to be victorious, just like these people were. But God, help us to be humble enough to realize that when we miss it, when we place our expectations to things that aren't really true. God, would we turn and would we place our expectations on who you really are and the promises you have for us in your word. God, I pray that as we enter this Easter Sunday and all the activity, that we wouldn't miss the fact that you came and you died on the cross for every single one of us, that we could have eternal and abundant life today, here, and now. That because Jesus' blood was shed, that like Grace sang earlier, we are truly covered. We are hidden in Jesus. Our guilt, our shame, our brokenness, our desperation, our pain, our anguish, they are hidden in Jesus. So God, we come to you in faith. And God, would you stir up inside of us faith right now? Would you stir up in us a desire for more of you? God, we want to take this Palm Sunday as an opportunity to delve in deeper into our relationship with you, not our expectations of you. God, we thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for our church. Amen.